Let us turn to a hymnal here, 153. We're talking about faith, hope, and love today, and it's awfully hard to figure out. We ought to sing three songs, but we'll just sing one. 153, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what an honor to be here this morning in the name of Jesus and to be with like-minded brothers and sisters and be able to exercise the weapon of prayer. And Lord, we want to just worship you and bow down to you and look at one of the prayers in the Bible, just another great prayer, and so much to learn from each one of these. And so, Lord, guide us and lead us as we consider faith, as we consider hope, as we consider love, as we consider the awesome position that we have because of your grace and choosing us before the foundation of the world, really. So lead us now as we lift our voices in song and as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 153, verses 1 and 4. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. Verse 4. When ends life's passing dreams, when death's cold threatening stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul. Well, as I mentioned, we will be looking at just a wonderful prayer here from the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. Now, keep in mind, he'd only been with them three Sabbaths. He'd been with them a very short period of time. But we notice here some just outstanding aspects of this prayer for them in chapter 1. It's at the very beginning of the first letter, and he says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the prayer that we're going to look at this morning. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing, amazing, remembering without ceasing these three things, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. So we read in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. We read here, a little bit different order. Here the order is faith, love, and hope. And we'll look at a passage in 1 Peter here a little later on, which has yet a different order. But nevertheless, these three things, faith, hope, and love, and we would think as Christians these would be kind of givens. And yes, I have faith, I have hope, I have love because I'm saved, because I'm walking in the Spirit. And so what do we need to pray for that for? Well, remember, Paul is praying for believers here. In all of these epistles, basically, he's praying for the believers, is he not? He's not excluding the lost, but he's really praying for the believers to grow in their knowledge and wisdom of the Scriptures and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he first begins here in verse 2, we give thanks always. That is a wonderful thing. And so as we look at ourselves, are we giving thanks to God always for the believers? For our believer friends, whether we know them or not? Are we making mention of them in our prayers? So are you including the believers in your prayers would be one application here, the question that we would look at. And a general overall question would be, how active or how vibrant, how alive is your faith? The same for how vibrant alive is your love? And how vibrant and alive is your hope? And so as we look at these this morning, may these things kind of pop out of the page a little bit from us. And these handouts I gave, you might want to look at them a little bit, unless you want to chase around in the Bible a little bit, because I'm going to be reading primarily just scriptures here this morning. So remembering without ceasing your work of faith, that is the very first petition here, basically, after thanking God for them. And what is work of faith? How do you have work of faith? What is that all about? Didn't Paul say that we're saved by grace through faith and not of our works, lest any man should boast? Yes, that's absolutely true. We're not talking about saving faith here. We're talking about faith that works. And James said it very well. And there's no difference at all what Paul is saying and what James is saying. But James said in James 2:14-18, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Well, certainly. But if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So we want to do the things of the Lord because we love him, right? Not because we're trying to earn anything. We're not trying to earn a position. Oh, God forbid. We have the position given to us freely. But now, loving him, we want to serve him. And we call serving him works. Then next, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. Well, what is labor of love? Isn't that kind of an oxymoron? Do you have to work at loving? Well, what do we read here? He's talking about their love and labor of love. We know that love is one of the essential elements, if not the greatest gift. Paul said, what? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And the two great commandments are to love, are they not? To love him and to love others. And so we want to look at our love to God and our love to others. One illustration I read in one of the commentaries on this passage in regard to this was an illustration of a little girl carrying a very heavy baby. And someone passing by said, isn't that baby too heavy for you to carry? And she answered, oh no, he's my brother. Isn't that a great illustration? And as we pray for one another, it's not a labor of love that's too heavy. It's because you're my brother. You're my brother. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And so we have, if the two greatest commandments are to love, we need to be loving, don't we? Now, we cannot do this apart from the Spirit. You can't do it in the flesh. You can struggle and try and everything else in the flesh, but you can do nothing. Because the flesh does not have the ability to love anything but itself. The Spirit has the ability to love others. The Spirit lusts against the flesh. And thank God for that. So we want to be walking in the Spirit. And we want to be examining our love. Is how active is it? What is the motive of our love? And are we really committed to love? Because it's not really a feeling. It's not, oh, today I feel like loving the Lord, so I'll love the Lord. But yesterday I didn't feel like it, so I didn't. No, it's a commitment. Or husbands loving your wives. You don't love them when you feel like it. You love them because you're committed to loving them, right? Isn't that what the Spirit would lead you to do? So if you're a dedicated Christian, I think we need to prove it by our love. And we know our love manifests itself in keeping his commandments in obedience. And then thirdly, the patience of hope. Patience of hope is fairly clear when we identify really what it is. I like it, 1 Peter, one of my favorite passages. It's a great passage. If you don't know it, I would recommend you memorize it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to what? A living hope. A living hope through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Is that glorious or what? That is our living hope. Now, we're not talking about the hope that I win the lottery. I mean, it's long odds, but I'm hoping. No, we're talking about something that's absolutely positive, sure, without fail, cannot not happen, and that is our Christ having resurrected from the dead, and through that we have eternal life because he lives, we live, victorious over sin and death, and we also look forward to that glorified body and being with him, do we not? That's that living hope. So we hope for it, but we're not like dead, we're living. We're living in these bodies now, saved, yet not righteous, not yet glorified. We have the righteousness accounted to us, righteousness given into our eternal account. But in these bodies, we're anything but righteous. We're very unrighteous still in these bodies, aren't we? We still sin, not because we're forced to, but because we want to. But we have that ability to repent and confess, and we have his blood continually cleansing us. And we have his promise, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here we see we have that living hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So how is your patience of hope? Is it long-drawn phase? Oh, this life is so tough, I just can't get through it. You don't know what I'm going through. Well, that's probably true in a sense, but you're focusing on the wrong thing. What we need to be focusing on is that living hope, right? On what Christ has done for us. And no matter how much you're going through the crusher here on earth, it's not going to change what he's done for us, is it? Is someday you're going to wake up, well, I guess that, you know, that law that Christ rose from the dead and gave us life has passed. Now, you know, it's no longer in effect. No, that'll never happen. We have that victory in Christ Jesus and that living hope through him. And then finally, verse 4, knowing beloved brethren. I love that term, beloved brethren. Isn't that a beautiful term when we think what it really means? It means our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we love them because he first loved us, right? So how is your love for God, and how is your love for one another? And this is the foundation under this all, your election by whom? By yourself? No, your election by God. God is making this all possible. And the Thessalonians probably would have thought, well, what he's really saying there is we're different than the non-believing Thessalonians. That's true. And we're different. These are primarily Gentiles. We're different than the Jews. That's probably true. But we're really looking at the election here. And in Ephesians 1:5-12, and I think you women, some of you have already maybe been through this, I don't know, but you know, Ephesians, and there's different places, but 5-12 tells us the story. Romans 3 is another great one. But here it says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Why? According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in him, in the beloved. And in him we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. According to the riches of his grace. It's all by his grace. It's not anything we've earned or could ever earn or merit. It's all by the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the fullness of the times, at the right time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In him, hallelujah, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So everything we have is a gift from him. And we have to recognize that this is a gift from him. And because of this, we have faith, we have hope, we have love, and we have the ability of the Spirit to make faith, hope, and love be active. So, repeating the first question, how active and alive, how vibrant is your faith? How vibrant and alive and active is your love? And how vibrant and alive and active is your hope? Father, we thank you for this prayer, and this is such a glorious thought of so these things seem on the surface, oh, I understand all that, and yet when we start to get into it, we don't understand any of it, but it is just so awesome, it's beyond our understanding. But we thank you that you love us, and we thank you that you chose us, and we thank you that we're yours because of what you have done for us. And we pray that every single person would make that same decision. We have to receive your gift. A gift freely given, yes. A gift adequate for all, yes. But it has to be received. And how many are not choosing to receive your gift? You will let us be eternally where we choose to be. And oh, may they choose to be with you, Lord. And this morning now we have the time to pray. We have the power of prayer. And we have you, Holy Spirit, leading us in how to pray. You told the Israelites after you made the promise in Ezekiel 36 that you would bring them, you would disperse them and bring them back. And you said, I have said it. I, the Lord God, have said it, and I will do it. End of subject, right? And then you go on, Lord, and say, and I will allow Israel to inquire of me to do this for them. Prayer is so important, Lord. I don't quite know how it works, but you do allow us to pray to you that you might do for the things for us and through us that we are asking. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know if he hears us, he will grant us the petitions that we have asked. So may we gather together here for the first half hour or so, praying in one group, and then the latter part to break into little groups so we can all pray. But Lord, lead us now by your Spirit, and may we be in one accord as we follow your prompting. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.